Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
We align with the movement of your spirit. We align with the utterance that is breaking forth from your realm. We align with the angels of this of tonight's service. We come under the government of your spirit, and we ask, O God, that you grant us access to drink of the waters of life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated gorgeously in God's presence.
He was married until we are aware, until we are so with the Lord. Over the Israel. All around me, I can feel it's a lathering all right on Jesus. He was married until we are wet. Until we are soaked with Lazarus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yes, I am. Semo Fenanio Solo. If I le, if I le money, if I say la in a sisio phone, a man your phone I le, a fado sa salimo.
I le my toga for say. I le mo saye fo me so sivun. In I te la ga o sa za ho. Esi a le o ga ho sa le. Can we turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9? Book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. The Bible said, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Tonight I would like to attempt to share with us briefly, if I'm to give it a title, I'll call it the blessedness of brokenness. The blessedness of brokenness. You see, it's no longer news that we are in the last days. And because of the era and the season that our generation has been factored into, it is obvious to everyone that is discerning that the battle has now become more fierce than ever before. The war between light and darkness has been intensified on every level, at every strata, and in every sphere. It is a raging warfare that is ongoing between the power of darkness and the power of light. And the most unfortunate thing about it is that it looks as if the strategy of the enemy against the children of light is unbeatable. It looks as if our rank have been made consistently, have been weakened consistently because of the obvious strategy that the devil uses against the children or the sons of light. Before Jesus commissioned us, he tried to awaken the consciousness of the things that we will be contending with. And he tried to diagnose the major problem that his followers will face. So he stood in the book of Luke chapter 9. And in verse 23, the Bible says he said to them, if any man at all will come after me, let him deny himself. This is where the problem is. Let him deny himself and what? Take up his cross. It looks as if a lot of people have not come to that point where they make that conscious decision. It looks as if many have no understanding of the implication of that utterance. It says, if any man at all will, is not compulsory. You are not being coerced. You are not being compelled. But if at all, you engage the power of choice. You engage the power of your will to choose me and to come after me. The requirement is simple. You must first of all deny yourself. It is the lack of the denial of self that have crippled us in the battle that we are facing. It looks as if we are in a generation that self is exalted into the place of God. And God has been made to be a metal that is used to fulfill the gratification or the lust of the flesh or the lust of self rather.
one of the most formidable force or weapon in the arsenal of the enemy against the believer and against God's agenda is nothing but flesh. Nothing more but self. Self in all its shade is the most graphic weapon that is being used against the end time church. Ranging from self preservation to self pity to self ambition, whatever you want to call it, every form of self weakens the potency of the believer in battle. I'm a silent Mosana. Ole mighty for how. And I am a ho. Hallelujah. A young man wrote to me recently. He said, "Sir, I have a problem. I've been getting invitation to preach. And the city where I dwell, the people there are unreasonable. They don't care how you come. They don't care how you go. All they care about is to invite you to preach. So for this, some concerned and wise fellow told me to set up protocol so that my host will not interact with me directly anymore, but anytime they want to invite me, they'll have to talk to my protocol." He says, "Sir, I did it, but my conscience is pricking me." Self-preservation. So, as a young man that God is being gracious unto, opening you up to platform, the first thing you are thinking of is how you go there and how you come back. How your host is unreasonable because they didn't give you transport. Self-preservation. Even the argument that is making route on the internet, if you study it carefully, a lot of people are working against the body, against the power of God, thinking that they are opening people's eyes. They will say, because you are associated with so-so-so, who in their own mind or in their own finding they feel is a fake prophet, is a fake man of God, because you are associated with them, you attack fake or you attack false. So what they are trying to say is self-preservation. If you are righteous, remain righteous. And unfortunately, they don't understand that Jesus himself visited the house of the sinner. He mingled with wine bibbers. He mingled with publicans just to save some. Paul said, for the sake of the barbarian, I became a barbarian that I may save some. But our generation, all we are careful about is how to protect ourselves, to look good in the eyes of men. Everywhere you turn, you see self at its peak, manifesting unrestrained from the pulpit to the pew. Unknown to us, that is the major weapon that the devil is using against the church of God. Hope you know, there was a man that Peter wrote about in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 7. It said, "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Verse 8. "For the right judged for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vex his righteous soul from day to day. This is talking about Lot. Hope you know, in the generation or in the time of Lot, the city where he dwelt was destroyed because their iniquity became few. So in that society that was full, or that was ridden with the lack of the fear for God, was tagged a righteous man. In a generation of wickedness, in a generation where all kinds of abominable acts have liberty of expression, so a Lord had the testimony that he was righteous before God. He was not only righteous, every day the acts that they were performing before him, the Bible says, vexes his soul daily. But he did nothing about it. He was contented with his standard as a righteous man. I have this understanding that God will blame Lot for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why? It is not just enough for you to be light. You must migrate to shining the light, so that your light can also, through the brightness of your light, other men will be drawn to that light. He was there. Sodom, he came. It vexes his soul. All kinds of evil appeared. He disapproved of it, but he was contented that he stood blameless before God. He doesn't care about what happened to the rest of the world. To the point that even his family, he couldn't disciple them. Imagine that kind of anointing, that kind of power that God gave to him to stand pure in the midst of obvious contradiction and all kinds of decadence. He stood. It's a power that was at work in him. Yet, that power, nobody could benefit from it, because it was a self-preserving agenda that was powering him. I like us to know that God has a weakness, and his weakness is found in his inability to lower his standard to accommodate anyone. No matter who you are, no matter the pedigree, the status, the Bible said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 19, it said, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth what? Sure. And say, having the seal, let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord do what? Depart from iniquity. This revealed to us that no matter what you do, the standard of God has been cast, and it is established on an immortal dynasty that cannot be bended to accommodate anyone. When Jesus appeared with the message of the kingdom, what he did was not to bend the message of the kingdom. Rather, he advertised the kingdom and summoned men to what? To come to repentance. For the kingdom is at hand. It is always men that we turn in order to be accommodated in the kingdom. Because this kingdom, the realm that we have been admitted into, is a realm that exists. It has a life force of its own. It's a well-structured and ordered place that is commanded to operate at a certain kind of frequency, that no matter what you do, it cannot bend to accommodate you. It's you that will accommodate yourself by bending to the rules, the laws that govern that realm. This is why we experience so much powerlessness. Self is exalted, and brokenness have been ushered out of our gathering. In the book of Genesis chapter 3 or chapter 6 verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, because he also is what? Is flesh. The moment self is enthroned, the spirit of power departs. The moment self is given attention, the spirit of excellence, the spirit of power departs or is weakened.
Emmanuel, although it's calling your name, Emmanuel, won't you come again? Emmanuel, so the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, won't you come and reign? Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, won't you come again? Emmanuel, so the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, won't you come, Mary?
Even in our gathering is devoid of hearts that really yearn to have a walk with God. Many of us come before God, our motivation is not far from self. I used to lead us pray here. Anytime I say, let us pray for Nigeria, and we are praying, if you look at the countenance of some people, you people should stop wasting my time. There is nobody. They have no idea that the agenda of God for Nigeria is at stake. And they are supposed to burn with passion and burden to see it established. But the moment you say every witch in your family, this hall, you see people running up and down. It's a sign to tell us where our real heart is. We have no burden for God. There are some people here, if all your challenges are met right now, that is the end. We will not see you again. We won't see you again. He said, my spirit will no longer strive with man forever, for he also is what? Is flesh. Anywhere flesh is enthroned, the spirit of power departs. This explains why you are powerless. This explains why our congregational gathering is void of authority. Because the secret to power and to authority in God or with God is found in brokenness. He said, nevertheless, the standard of the Lord, the foundation of God, standeth sure. What is that foundation? If any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. If you understand the import, the weight of that word, that is Jesus saying, count yourself as a dead man, and you no longer what? Exist. The repercussion and the implication of the things that you will face by the reason of denying yourself is what is called the cross that you bear daily. Sometimes you will suffer and battle loneliness. Most times you will suffer ridicule. Most times you will suffer hunger. Most times you will be alone. All of that are what? Are the cross you bear Because in the eyes of God, the requirement to walking with him is that you deny yourself. Tell yourself you are no longer alive. But unfortunately, we are all very alive. Very, very alive. You know what the Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 29? It says, and no flesh shall glory in my presence. This explains why sometimes worship is going on here and celebrate as possible is in the house. Welcome, sir. Amen. This explains why sometimes the presence of God could be so thick here, but some people are indifferent. They don't know. The reason is because those people, those kind of people, they are not aware that they have entered the realm of God because they are not alive. God himself resists the proud, but he giveth grace to who? To the humble. So, because flesh cannot glory in his presence, you will not even be aware that there is something happening here, that God is alive here, that God has walked into this place. You will see some people crying, weeping, and then you are looking and wondering, what is happening to these people? What are they doing? It is because a proud man, a man full of self, cannot experience the weight and the power of God's presence, because God himself resists such an individual. The battle is becoming fierce. The warfare is raging. And the most cardinal prized possession that everyone must strive to possess is this asset called brokenness. Because that is how you get God attracted to yourself. Without brokenness, God will be far from you, because he resists a man of flesh. A man that all that possesses his heart is self. What is in need for me? What will I gain? How about this? How about that? Never thinking of who God, how it affect God in any way. The Bible said in the book of Psalm 51 verse 17, it said, the sacrifice of the Lord are what? A broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, the Lord will know what? He will not despise. Do you know what this means? Have you been hungry before? Imagine you were trapped or kidnapped. God forbid, it will not happen to you. And then you were left in the bush for weeks without tasting food. And then you came into town, and then you began to perceive the aroma of food. Will you be able to resist it? Will you say, ah, this thing is not food, it's a lie? You will be drawn to that aroma. The reason is because you are intensely hungry. The hunger that is plaguing you at that point, it's on another level. So the last thing, the only thing that will be ringing in your mind is how to attend to that hunger. It's how to get that hunger satisfied. So as the aroma of food is to him that is hungry, that is how a broken and a contrite heart is to God. The Bible says he cannot despise. If he sees a man that is broken, he is always drawn. He cannot resist such a one. It is so real that in the book of Isaiah 57 verse 15, the Bible said, thus saith the Lord, the one that inhabited eternity, the one that, the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, he said, I dwell in the high and lofty place, and also with him that is of a contrite and a broken spirit. These are the two places you will find God. If you are looking for God, it's either you climb to the highest and lofty place. And you and I don't know the road to that place. But he said, if you find a broken man, you will see me there. I dwell with him that is of a contrite and a broken spirit. But we can't see brokenness on the scene anymore. Why? Because self is the main motivation behind many things that many people do. You see, people get angry because they come to church and their prayers are not answered for a season. And they say, I don't tire. This thing not the work. Just like Pastor King was saying. You go on evangelism, they'll tell you, Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but man must survive. He said, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Until we attain brokenness, we cannot see the measure of the power that have been allotted to us to work in as a people. Until we attain brokenness, we can't see the hand of God in its full and original import. Brokenness for the end time believer is non-negotiable. Because that is how you walk in power. That is how you walk in authority. He said, I dwell with him that is of a broken and a contrite heart. When God is with you, it means power is with you. When God is with you, it means authority is with you. But the only way to keep God trapped around you is to sustain the posture of brokenness. It might appear as if you are weak to the eyes of him that is undiscerning. But how be it in the spirit, you are a mighty man. Men can look at you and take advantage of you because anything they do to you, you don't talk. They can look at you and call you fool. They can look at you and do whatever they want to do because you will not retaliate. But they don't know that if you hurt a broken man, you are heaping a coal of fire on your heart. And when it begins to reverberate, you can't stand. They say, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Because of how real the battle of self is in the life of the believer, there are protocols that were initiated in order to rid him that we follow Jesus, in order to set him free from the impact of self. And that part is not a rosy part. It's a part laden with all kinds of difficult protocols. In the book of Exodus, chapter 13 and in verse 17, we saw that when Pharaoh finally allowed the children of Israel to go, the Bible says God thought to himself that he would have led them through the way of the Philistines. But he will not, because if these people see war, they will turn back to Egypt. So he led them through the pathway of the wilderness. This revealed to us the two pathways through which self is dealt with. One is through warfare. The second is through the wilderness. Either way, either route that you are taking through is to arrive at a place called brokenness. If you go through warfare, is to bring you to the point of brokenness. If you go through the wilderness experience, is to bring you to that point called brokenness. He said, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went. Warfare is real, and it is not necessarily designed to consume the believer. The protocol of life is wiggled with warfare. Battles are major integers in the game of life, but they were never designed to consume the believer. Both believers and unbelievers go through warfare. But for the unbeliever, battles, life is all about survival. It is survival of the fittest. But for the believer, life is about struggle to attain truth. It's a struggle to apprehend truth, to live out truth. But all of that is to bring you to a point where you see the futility of self, and then all the praises to him that dwell in ultimate fire. Are you with me? If you are here, shout amen. Battles are part and parcel of everyday life experience. But for the believer, it was never designed to consume you. It is designed to bring you to that point where you will realize who you are in him. It is the route to power. Because by design, God knows and allow you to go through certain experiences so that ultimately he will be wired into you. He will be walked into you like the rivers. Hope you know, anything you conquer as a man, you have the ability to show men how to conquer it as well. Do we agree? If you conquer poverty, you know what you did that brought you out of poverty. So it will not be difficult for you to bring other people out of poverty with that experience. That is the main reason why warfare, the believer is allowed to go through warfare. So that the things you go through, by the time you surmount it, it will culminate into power. It will culminate into authority. It will be like a badge that is placed upon you in the spirit. That is how we grow in power in the spirit. You grow in rank by the things you subdue, by the wars you conquer, by the fight that you win. This is why Paul said in Galatians 6:17, he said, henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body what? The marks of the Lord Jesus. He has fought battles in his name. Battles came to him that could make him change his confession. He went through things that could make him compromise at different levels. But he stood his ground. And to him it became a badge in the spirit. So when he was tried, he invoked it. He said, henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you are going through, it's not meant to consume you. Because part and parcel of the protocol of life is that men will go through warfare. And through that, the things they go through, they will become a powerful individual. He or she will become a powerful individual. That experience will serve as a badge that separates you before the immortals. Many people don't like battles. Because they don't know that life is warfare. Apostle used to teach us. He said, life is not funfair. Life is not a playground. He said, life is a battlefield. If you understand this, at least by now you will know that life does not give you what you deserve. It gives you what you demand. Or is there anyone here that crossed his leg and life happened to him the way he or she wanted? Life never gives you what you deserve. As you are here, You deserve to be, to have a private jet. You deserve to be married to the perfect person in the world. But that is not your experience. Or is it? It doesn't give you what you deserve. It gives you what you demand. That is how the believer is trained. And that's why warfare for the believer is not just an experience that you go through, but it is the triumph of faith. You know, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 16, but he said, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have what? Overcome the world. In this world you will have it. Be of good cheer. That is what is what this is what he's saying. That I went through this experience. You are not separated from it if you are to follow me. But because I overcame, you also will overcome. It is part and parcel of your experience, but it is not meant to consume you. The reason why it happens and it consumes a lot of people is because they are not aware that life is not a playground. So they were never prepared for the battles of life. For you are redeemed, yes. You are saved, yes. You are the child of God, yes. But that does not separate you from warfare. In fact, it makes you more prone to warfare. And you cannot conquer. Or rather, it is not meant to make you compromise. It is meant to bring you to a point where you are broken before the Father. Because that is where authority and power are conferred upon you. In the book of Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1 and 2. See what the Bible says. It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Take note. He says, I have redeemed thee. In fact, I know you by name. But in verse 2, he says what? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall flame kindle upon thee. You will go through the challenges and the battles of life, but there is an assurance that it will not consume you. Only those who are prepared for it. They are they that stand the test of the time. They are they that are ultimately crowned. Yes, I'm a believer. You hear people say, why is all this thing happening to me? And out of self-pity, many landed in compromise. Many landed in all kinds of compromise that made them lose track of who they are and the journey that they were placed upon. Because they told you that if you say yes to Jesus, it's a rosy, rosy thing. It's not rosy. He said, if any man will come after me. This utterance was made to his disciples. He said, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. It's ultimately to bring you into a realm of power. Into a realm of power. Without brokenness, it will be difficult for you to attain the rank that God has destined for you. It is almost practically impossible to attain anything in God if you don't have a broken heart. When you pray, it's to bring you to that point. When you fast, it's to bring you to that point. When you give, is to bring you to that point where you see yourself as nothing before God, as nothing without God, as helpless without God. You know, I read the story of Jacob, and it excited me so much. You know, Jacob was known as a supplanter. He was a man full of self. When he had encounter with God, in Genesis 28, he bargained with God, told God what he wanted, and God honored it. He went to Haran, labored for how many years, and came back with goods. He was still a man of self until he encountered an angel. When that angel was done dealing with him, the Bible said he touched the hollow of his thigh. That is a sign that the man was broken. And the later part of the life of Jacob, you will discover that he has actually become a broken man. If not, Jacob knew how to negotiate. You know, cattle were not allowed in Egypt. That business was not allowed. But Jacob would have known what to do with the power of his son Joseph in the hem of affair to negotiate how to establish his business in Egypt. He would have negotiated his way to stay in the most palatial mansion in Egypt. He would have known what to do, but a time came. Because of that encounter he had, he has become a broken man. He has seen the futility of life, and he knows that life without God is nothing. The angel told him, as a prince, thou have power with God and with man and have prevailed. And we saw that as a prince, with words, he changed the destinies of his children. He aligned them with, by the power of prophecy, he ordered their feet to the path that he should go. Why? He became a broken man. And because he was broken, he accessed power. By uttering words, he made thirdborn to become firstborn. He never took advantage of the access he had with Pharaoh to negotiate a better life for himself anymore. It was more about the desires of God and the things that he wanted. If you don't have understanding, there are certain things you will go through in life that you will think that you are disadvantaged. There are certain experiences that you will be exposed to, or you will be allowed to go through, and you will think that God has forgotten about you. But all of that is actually the intelligence of the immortals to bring the true you out of you. To show you how difficult it is for men to part way with flesh. When God routed the children of Israel through the pathway of the wilderness, Only two persons made it out of the wilderness, Caleb and Joshua. The wilderness experience is not to bury you. It's not to kill you. It's not to frustrate you. It's to take care of all the fleshly tendencies that are locked up in your members. The reason is because there is a crown that is meant for your head. Meant for your head. That crown cannot rest if you are full of flesh. There is a scepter of power that you are to wield. That scepter will not be given to you if you are full of flesh. That is why God will insist that you go through certain things. No matter how you try hard. You are smart. You are intelligent. You know the strategies, the permutations and the combinations to do in order to wiggle your way out. But no, if after you've put all those permutations together, you will discover that some things doesn't add. What is happening to you is not that you are unfortunate. You are in the school in the spirit. You are in a school in the spirit. And that school is called the wilderness, school of wilderness. Where God is trying to rid you of all your personal abilities. So that your gaze will shift from who you are and what you know. To look upon him who was pierced for your sake. So that you will rest on him and allow him carry you through life. You know, if you see a man that successfully passed through the wilderness experience, there is no way he will not attain brokenness. Let me show you something. Songs of Solomon, chapter 6, or chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, and all powder of the merchant? He said, who is this coming out of the wilderness? A man that has been to the wilderness, who has gone through the dealing processes of the spirit, there is a smell that he carries. There is an aroma that he carries. There is a force that he carries. The Bible call it the pillars of smoke. Those things that you went through in the face of obvious contradiction and the possibility of compromise, you stood your ground. They came to you. If you can just add 10 to this budget, you will be a millionaire. But you say, for the sake of Jesus, I will not. You think the immortals don't see that? They see it. You are tempted left and right. You have the capacity to compromise and no one will know. But for the sake of the commitment you have for him, you stand your ground. When the time for you to come out is accomplished, this is your description. You say, who is this? The people that knew you before you began those experiences, when they see you, they can't tell. Because they will see a different you. Whereas you used to be a very loud person. Anywhere you are the runner of the show. You call the shot and everybody follows suit. But when the Holy Spirit is done with you, you don't speak until he says speak. You don't act until he says act. You don't go where he has not permitted you to go. You say, who is this? They won't recognize you. When you allow yourself to go through the dealing of the spirit, when you are coming out, your circumstances will not recognize you. Whereas they thought they came to frustrate your life, but they don't know that it was that fuel that took you through the school of the spirit. And now you are coming out. When your circumstances look out to you, you say, who is this that is coming out of the wilderness with pillar like smoke, perfumed with myrrh? Myrrh here talks about bitterness. Bitterness. The bitter, ugly experience you went through for the sake of the name of the Lord.
even in the face of obvious contradiction, you have power to change your confession. You stood your ground. All those experiences, they follow you as odors. He said, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. Then he said, with all powder of the merchant. When you come out, you bear the name of him that you are submitted to. The badge of Jesus will be on you. Anywhere you appear, Jesus will appear. The reason is because you are his and he is yours. The powder of the merchant is the oil of the owner. So he will decorate you with an ability. When you speak, it will be like him speaking. When John the Baptist appeared from the wilderness, when he lifted up his voice to cry, the whole city went from the city to be with him in the wilderness. Why? Because he has become one with him that he represents. He said, who is this coming out of the wilderness? When we look upon you, there's nothing about you that we should desire. When men see you, there is nothing physically that should attract men to you. But there is an invincible garment that you wear in the spirit. It attracts all things. It is called the glory. That is the emblem of him who have gone through the wilderness. Is there anyone here who is powerless? It's not because God is favorable toward us and despises you. We are all separated by the things we are willing to go through for the name of the Lord, for the sake of the Lord. In a generation that is full of self-preservation, that self-preservation is taught as a doctrine and as a lifestyle. If you can choose to hazard yourself for the sake of the king, like Paul and Barnabas, you will carry a crown of glory. When you stand to give witness, you will see the difference. You know, I've been bodying lately. My bodying is simple. I was just asking the Lord, what are we not doing right? Why is it so difficult for us to make decree and change things in the environment? We see the power of God in the sanctuary. Why are we not seeing it on the street? Why can't we say we deny this one life and the person is gone? Why can't we say we shut down this system and it is so? He said, such power exists in a realm called brokenness. There are people who are good until they were exposed to a realm of power, to a layer of power, a layer of influence. And we saw all kinds of things began to find expression through them. This is why it is a must. God will not separate you. He will not take away, no matter how apostle prophesy. If God was the one that orchestrated that warfare, if he prophesy you out of it, it's not for your good, because you will be depending on the prophecy again. But even at that, God will still ensure that you go through it. The reason is because he wants to bring you into a place where you stop being a consumer to become who? Production. If you know, you know. Amen. We want to see the power of God as in the ancient time. The secret is to attain brokenness. He said, I dwell in the high and lofty place, and with him also that is of a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Those of us here,
pay attention to your life. Is there something you have prayed about? You have fasted about? A particular challenge that have defied all kinds of anointing? It is not the anointing that is the problem. It's you that have not discerned what God is trying to tell you. There was a time I was almost angry with God. I was praying for a particular thing and I wasn't seeing it. I prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted. So I said, okay, maybe I wasn't praying very well. I went and locked myself. I said, I'm going to pray for 24 hours until I see result. So I started. 1 hour, 2 hours, 6 hours. I was there. So suddenly, the enemy came. The devil spoke into my heart loud. Say, why are you punishing yourself like this? I bet you will know the voice of the devil. It's not hard. See, why are you punishing yourself like this? You have been praying over this matter for so long and it's not manifesting. What makes you think this one will work? You are wasting your time. Go home and rest. When he spoke, for you to know that it's the devil, it became real in my ear and in my heart. And I say, it's true. That was the mistake. I just concord. I say, it's true. And then offense rose in my heart. I say, Lord, I'm not doing this thing again. I pack my Bible, pack it to back, open the door. Immediately I held the door knob like this. The Holy Ghost spoke. He said, so you want to leave? When he spoke, all the anger in me disappeared. And I broke down in tears. I wept till I slept off. Do you know? God left me. I went and told someone. Nobody was with me in that room. I was the only one there. I went and told my friend. He said, see you. Victor is offended with me. The man came and told me, say, why are you offended with God? God said you are angry with him. For me, that was a great deliverance. Because for the first time, it dawned on me that I matter to God. He's so concerned about how I feel to the point that he shared the burden in his heart with a fellow man like me. Why am I angry with God? I repented. But that is not what I'm telling you. There was something that God wanted me to learn that I wasn't learning. And I was so beclouded by the desire to see what I was praying for that I forgot about the lesson that he was teaching me. Delay is not denial. Sometimes delay could be that you are being taught patient in the school of the spirit. Sometimes no, it's not denial. It could just be that it is not time for you to enter this yet. Because if you enter it, you can't manage the warfare that comes with it. He said, who is this coming out of the wilderness? You cannot be recognized. No man can tell. You are powered by a force that is beyond you. You are propelled by an invisible finger because you have become a possession of an invisible spirit. They say with the powders of the merchant, you are bought. The emblem of God is on you. The glory of God is on you. The oil of God is on you. And everywhere you appear as an ambassador.
Efolo fosasi sovonai.
There's
someone here. My message tonight is simple. What God wants to achieve in you and through you, eyes have not seen it, ears have not heard it, it has not yet entered the heart. No heart have been able to perceive it. That is why you go through the things you go through. It is a deliberate orchestration of God to bring you into your divine reality. Will you align with Him? Will you allow Him to carry you, to ferry you through the pathways of life? No matter how rough the edges may be, you know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. No matter how difficult the experience may be, you know that if you don't give up, there is glory at the end of the tunnel. He said, rise ye up, take up your journey, and go beyond the river Arnon. He said, behold, I have given to you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. He said, begin to possess it and to contend. The prophecy is not a lie, it's real. The revelation you saw is not a lie, it's the truth. But you must rise up and take up the journey. Even though it has been given to you, there is a battle. You must fight in order to possess it. Because warfare is part and parcel of life. Don't allow self-pity deny you. And don't allow self-preservation deny you. There are people that have surrendered their life for Christ. The Bible says concerning Paul and Barnabas, he said, these be the men that have surrendered themselves for the sake of the gospel. Our generation is taught self-preservation. Nobody is willing to take risk for God anymore. They will say, you want to move? They say, the coast is not clear. If they don't say the coast is not clear, they'll say, you're ambitious. Where is faith? Where is passion? Where is the zeal of the Lord that consumes? And these people are showing genuine love for you. And this is not me saying it's not your time. And you now go and jump. You say you are hazarding your life for God. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it is okay, even when you are not sure of arriving where you want to go, it's okay to take step because you move in faith. What did the four Hebrew boys said? He said, even though our God will not save us, we will not bow. We know He is able to save. But even though He refuses to save us, O King, be it known to thee, we will not bow. They were willing to lose their life to defend what they believe. It is the fear of self that have crippled us. And the devil is taking advantage of this arsenal to wreak havoc among us. Is using this arsenal of self-preservation, self-ambition, self-aggrandizement to cripple us. Men are not willing to sacrifice anymore in the name of the Lord. If it doesn't align with your itinerary, you won't be part of it. What if you close your shop and go for evangelism? What will it cost? What if you receive query in your office because you went for a VG? What is the badge that you bear in your body? What is the mark that you carry? It is not just enough to be called Christians. We are people, we are a race of a people, or we are a race that was born in affliction, in pain, in penury. We were co-opted out of the reality, out of the ashes of our generation. Must be different. We must begin to sing the songs of the elders and dance the dance of the elders. There were men that gave up their life in order to see the will of God established. We must grow beyond this self-preserving. When last did you kneel down in your room and you wept before the Lord? Say, for the sake of your prophecy over Nigeria, have mercy. When was the last time you took a fast and you say, Father, for the sake of the souls that are dying and perishing in Afghanistan, have mercy. Orchestrate divine encounter that may, as many that could be saved, to be saved. We have exalted self and we have brought God to that point where he is nothing more but a tool that is used to satisfy the desires of the flesh. We must grow beyond that. I come tonight to provoke somebody that is still in the realm of preserving, wanting to safeguard. You want to be accepted. You know, somebody used to tell us that the only man that is loved by everyone is the man that sells ice cream. If you want to be loved by everybody, go and sell ice cream. I saw a video recently, and a man was calling Apostle Fake because he was found in a company of a certain kind of people. And the thought that hit my heart was this. This man, probably he feels he's doing God a favor or a service, but he doesn't know that he's doing God more of a disservice. How can you say somebody is fake because he is found in a company of somebody? What if he was found there so that God, through him, will save the people that are on the wrong path? This is why we are weak. We must become deliberate about the enterprise of power. And there is no power without brokenness. You cannot access it. The realm will resist you. If you empower a proud man, he will become more proud. So God will not empower you. If you empower a lustful man, he will become more lustful. If you empower an angry man, he will become more angry. This is why daily we travail on the altar, that by all means God will purge and chisel the essences of the flesh out of us. This is why no matter how you cry, he will not lighten his hand that is upon you, because he has seen your tomorrow and he knows that where you are going, if you go like this, you are a disaster waiting to happen. So he will light his hand heavy upon you, and you are crying. Instead of crying, learn what he's trying to teach you. If you learn it, you will see that the message will change. Amen. If you are here, shout amen. Amen. I'd like us to pray. I don't know what you've heard. I don't know where you are. I don't know the experience you are going through. But one thing I know, if it is warfare, it is orchestrated to bring you into the realm of power, where you become an authority over that challenge. If it is an experience, it's divinely orchestrated to walk God into you like a river, so that when you stand, he can flow out of you like a fountain. Can you see the blessedness of your experience? What is the level of brokenness that you have attained? What is your heart posture towards the things of God? It will reveal to you where you are in God. Can you talk to God? We are tired of gathering. Just gathering for formalities. Nothing is changing. At best, we receive crumbs. When our inheritance is to walk in the power of the age that is to come. Why should we be satisfied with little when more is available? Whatever it is that is a hindrance, Lord, I come tonight into the surgical room of your spirit. Wherever self has exalted itself over my life, I submit. I submit. I submit. I submit. He said, who is this coming out of the wilderness? This you is recognizable. We want to see the you that is not recognizable. The you that when you appear, everyone will ask, who is this?
Once again, let it come to you. Oh, river flow, oh, river flow. Let it come, oh, river flow. Your turn, once again, let it come.
Not a challenge. If you can attend brokenness, God will dwell with you. God will be with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Tonight I show you a more excellent way. The secret tears, the sleepless night. It's meant to bring you somewhere. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. A Philippa season. Pataka pateke peke proto. Emprete zero parata. Rate peke teko poko seke. Elete pete peko pero. Yateke presi. Eroso sofele daras. Amanatala brayara sanas. Ya papa 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 papa. Elohim Adonai. Oh, Elohim Adonai. Oh, Elohim Adonai. Oh, Elohim Adonai.
Ravena Casalada. Rara Kepre son of Bonazal. You know, our apostle have been teaching us on a series, growing into spiritual maturity. What we are concerned about is responsible Christianity, where the little one among us can be as strong as David, where the weakest among us can be mighty before God. And there is no way that can be achieved if we don't learn how to take personal responsibilities. I'd like you to pray again. What is it that is a challenge in me that is making it difficult for you to assess my heart? What is it that is a challenge that is making it difficult for me to submit my all? Tonight, Holy Spirit, I yield in obedience. I yield in obedience. I yield completely. Somebody pray. Pray, pray. Parasaga parara. Mantala bagarianos. Lepete gerose. Ekete de baragarianos. Ratapanasianos. Rapapapasianos. Ekete barakarato aziz. Yerte prosi. Eperoto. Rapapa parata. Ekabakatakate. Yetete tele. Etreprenise niborotia. Jiprototo. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and come after me. I tell you the truth, it's not an easy decision. It's not an easy thing to accomplish. Without grace, you can't. I want us to ask for grace. The ability to lay down, the ability to be carriers of the burdens of the Lord. Can you genuinely ask the Lord for grace? You have fought the will of God because your mind has been preoccupied with self-preservation. Can you ask the Lord for grace tonight? for grace tonight, for grace tonight, for grace tonight. Bara sabata bara, eke peleke, abakate ke bara, bate ke peseto, osi peteli, eke teleke baro, rabate ke tezi, eteleke ros, yere yere, yere yere, sabatale, embro tebrie, oporokazaya, oporokazaya, oporokazizezie, shababaratia, yatia, 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 metetero, baratanini atos, sibrayate, warate, embarate, yate, 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 Rapapa, what
You say, well, let me secure this small money. How will my family feed? When he's calling you to a higher realm, You can't meet up with the sacrifice, the demand that is placed on your heart because of fear. It says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and intercession with thanksgiving. It says, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will garrison your heart.
I want us to pray. I see something, but I will not say it until we pray. Can you pray in the spirit that the Lord will suck fear out of you, that he will grant you the ability to lay it all down, to lay it all down. My God, Kapaya, Mente Kopari, Rosaliti, Sivina Shadow, Recrotiste, Siviniak, Leko Paratas, Aya Totomeli, Oporotia Katakasi, Yakatakatakatakato, Opeli, Oporoya, Eteliakata, Yakata, 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 Wasisi, Sipoe, Sitia, Satilia, Atakatio, Oyayayaya.
Someone here that is discouraged, let your heart be strengthened. Someone here that is on the verge of giving up, that battle has not come to swallow you. It only came to reveal the strength that you have with God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. There are things that we trouble ourselves. There is nothing before our God. All the Lord is requiring from us is total submission of heart to His will. He just showed me a vision. I don't know. Someone is here. Zaida, you are already working there, or you are about to be employed there. But I see the gate of NNPC open, and someone was granted employment there. It doesn't cost God anything to turn your situation around in a moment. But can He trust you? That is the reason why you go through the things you go through. That your heart will be tried. Say, I am the Lord. I try the heart. I try the rein. In the name of Jesus, we establish that shift in the life of that person. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you came here cold. It's time to ask the Lord for fire. It's supposed to be revival service, but I was not allowed to charge the way I want to charge. It's time to ask the Lord for fire. You need fire. Fire is here. But it's time to ask Him deliberately. You are tired. You are tired of compromising at every given opportunity. You are tired of giving up at the face of any little challenge. You want to be dogged, rooted, grounded. You want to be an end time warrior. The Bible says, no man that warreth
entangled himself with the affairs of this life. Ask the Lord for the fire that allow men to lay it all down. Calabasaya. Camperotese. El parato se.
Thy fire like red. Precious name of Jesus. You know, teachings like these are deliberate. We may not come and teach you 5 steps to building a relationship or 10 steps to getting wealth. But if you understand these dimensions, you will carry the power to create those realms. You know, when he spoke from Songs of Solomon chapter 3 verse 6, my God, the man that cometh from the wilderness, the credentials of that man, he said there is a pillar of smoke. You know, when you talk about the wilderness and you talk about smoke, you are talking about the glory of God. In Exodus 19:18, he said, and the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai, and there was a thick smoke dwelling on that mountain. A man who walks out of the wilderness, the crown that they give him in the spirit is the glory. That means he operates from the immortal realm, the realms of the divine. That's what David saw, and he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You crowned him with glory. That means the men who are crowned with glory are the people who are journeying through the borders of the wilderness. And a man who carries glory, the perfume that he wears is myrrh. You know, myrrh is the ointment with which they cremate the dead. Because the glory of God is too heavy. Only dead men can carry it. It's not something you study. It's for the dead. That means when you perceive the aroma of that man, you perceive a dead man. No ambition, self-denial. A man who is crucified with Christ and the powers that he wields. Fire. That's a man walking from a throne. When he talks, his words are law. He said he is possessed with the powders of a merchant. So the dwelling of that man are the pleasures of life. Wealth. God can entrust him with wealth because he doesn't need it anymore. He has become a custodian and a steward of the dimensions of God. And so God can give him a billion because he doesn't need it anymore. He becomes God's trust fund. The pathways of death is beyond prophecy. It's a realm of immortals. Men that walk on earth, but their head is in heaven. When they speak, God obeys those words. He brings them to pass because the words of those men become the voices of God. God perceives it like he's the one talking. That's why he said, I confirm the words of my servant. I perform the counsels of my messengers. Dead men walking on the street with the glory of God. You will not stop until you touch the glory in your lifetime. You know, it was restrained. I know you were looking for your window. We will continue this service on Tuesday. Tuesday is not Bible study. It will come and continue. There's a river. Oh man. I had to cut it because the journey is far. Because songs will rise from these waters.
Men that will come out with weapons that the world can't decipher. Their voices will become like the thunder and the thunderings of God. When they speak, territories will vibrate because they speak with the government of God. We will continue on Tuesday. Meanwhile, I want you to know that we don't share testimonies. Does not mean things are not happening. In the last 2 weeks, we dedicated 3 cars. Now we are not coming to say we have car. Forget it. Strange things are happening among us. I spoke the other day, I said, in the next 3 days, somebody will sell 3 lands. Somebody ran to me, he sold the land. The next day he sold another one. The next day he sold another one. And then I prayed for him. I said, the door of real estate opens to you. In 2 months, they are giving him 35 hectares of land now. We don't want it to look as if this is a solution ground where people are. No, we want you to know God. That's why we don't emphasize certain things. If we want to take testimonies, they are replete. I can say now, if you have testimony, lift your hands, you'll be shocked. Tangible testimonies this week. Not because somebody laid hands on you, but because you are walking with God and things are working. Because you have become a custodian. If we don't raise men like this, the deification of men and manipulation cannot cease. Christianity in Africa is dying. And so we need Puritans to rise. And the only way we can achieve it is for men to know God for themselves. That's why we teach what we teach. If you want to take testimonies every week, at least we record 10 healings every week. At least 10 on a consistent basis. You will walk in the glory. You will walk in the glory. You know, when I was coming this evening, God gave me a word. And he said, this week is your week of fruitfulness. I don't care where you are now, but starting from tonight, the door of fruitfulness opens to you. Every gate locked against you, I command them to open now. I decree concerning you, every barren land is commanded to be fruitful. Go forward, increase, multiply, and have dominion. This week is not permitted to end until there's a testimony of multiplication in your life. Multiply in the spirit, multiply in finances, multiply in the natural. I call the rivers to bring you good wine. Resources that are in the depths of the sea, we receive them for you in the name of Jesus. May the riches of the Gentiles be transferred to you in this week. Every pending promise, everyone that is supposed to favor you in this week, they lose their peace until they bless you. He said the king went to bed but could not sleep. And he said, bring the chronicles of the kings. Who has done good to the king that has not yet been remembered? Your book of remembrance opens this week. Your mouth will be full of laughter because your captivity is torn. Your mouth will be full of laughter because your captivity is torn. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayers, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.